Wow, level 13 family. Let me just tell you how excited I am to be here with you all. Man, from the moment I walked in this morning, and it's just been just incredible meeting you. I'm sorry, in second service, I didn't get to as many, but I'd love to chat with you afterwards. I'm just excited to be here. I am Amy Allison, so I hail from Columbia City, or what we like to fondly call it is Columbia, Tucky, just up over. And I grew up in Fort Wayne, and then we moved to I have a daughter who is 20, and Shelby, she's here today, and my husband. So I told them first service, I really do have a husband and a daughter, and they just weren't probably going to work, but if they wanted to stick around, they could, you know. But anyway, they are here this morning. I'm so glad they are. But we moved south for a number of years. So if you hear something, because I forgot to precursor this in first service, I've got that southern thing going on, I guess. It's because my Holy Spirit is southern. I'm just going to precursor that and convince that that's the case. Because when we moved to South Georgia, I told God, This is where my soul is from, and I just love that, love the South, and Shelby is a Georgia peach, and so that was great. But God brought us back to Indiana. We're still trying to figure out why. I'm just kidding. There's a chance on that one, but we have lived here then, for a number of years, we go to New Hope, or we attend New Hope Wesleyan Church. Been there about 8 years, and so I got a call from Pastor Jason, who asked if I'd fill in today. And let me just tell you, I'm just pleased as punch. I'm just going to tell you to be here with you all this morning. I just can't even tell you. I was telling some people, you're going to have to pull me from the rafters because I'm just overjoyed. So thank you for having me today. And I'll just look forward to seeing what God's going to do. And I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do here at Level 13 going forward as well, because he's got some plans, I'm going to tell you right now. So, and he's going to use you all. So that's exciting, exciting stuff. So I know you've been talking about, there's a series that you've been talking about, and it's fear. And can you tell me what the name of the series is? Can you say that one more time? There you go. See, I know he didn't have you say it. He said it for you. No. I told them that they could do it, so that you could do it. You could do it well and do it proud. So, awesome. And so that is that series. And I think the first one was Fraidy Cat. And are you Fraidy Cat? And because, as Jason had said, we're all afraid of something. He told there were two fears. First fear is that reverence, that awesome reverence of God, that awestruck reverence of God. I got to tell you, I get that every time I step out on a clear night and I look up into the stars at night. There's just something about it that just clicks with me, and that is how I'm in awe. I can't even speak. And if you ask my husband, that's rare. So for me to do that, I think he wants me to go outside every night and just enjoy. But no, really, that is one. The other one was the unhealthy fear. And that fear is the one that steals our joy. And it destroys and robs and is nothing of God. The second series is the skeletons in the closet. And there were two of those as well. Those that belong to us and those that belong to others. And then I've been online the last few weeks. It's just been awesome to see y'all. It's just seeing Jordan come in last week and share his his story, the God's story that he'd given him. And I told him that, you know what you did this morning when I met him? I said, you know what you did? I don't know if you realized it, but you took both those series and combined them into one. Because you might have been a little nervous, a little whatever. I think you did something that and considers being the bowels in your pants, something that happened in there. When he said that he was gonna, and I just started laughing when he said he's gonna crap his pants, and I just was like, oh my goodness, okay, we're there. But I loved that he's not afraid. I'm nervous. That stuff going on, that's natural. But he wasn't afraid to share it. And he was talking about his past. And he was bringing all of it into the light. And it was his first time sharing. I told him, you know, you were walking with the Spirit, because I'm going to tell you that was incredible. And I so appreciated him sharing that. So with him doing that, it brings us to today, which is, it's about being real. And Jordan brought that last week. He was real. He was raw. He wasn't rawer, but he was raw. And I love that. And you could see how God had used his story and continues to use him. So being real. I don't know about you, but I don't find much conversation in somebody who thinks they know it all. And we may have a few in our lives, and we need to pray for them. But I personally, I don't. I'm a relational gal, and I want to know about you. I want to know about you. I want to know about your stories. I want to know about your seasons. I want to know what God is doing in you, through you, what he has done, what he is done, what you think he's going to be doing, and just dream it out. I want to know that, because I don't know about you, but I don't give any more bigger pleasure than to hear what God is doing. And family, he is never stagnant. He is never stagnant, and he is always moving and doing something. So being real, to have those conversations, to be there for each other. And today is in the third series. And today's is Mask and Costumes. I'm Afraid to Be Real. So how I was just telling, just discussing how we were going to have those conversations and how I'd rather be with somebody that's going to be real with me. And here's the thing. I had a story. It was going to fit perfectly into the sermon this morning. But God said, do you know, I'd really appreciate you using the story I gave you. And I mean, I remember my husband coming through late last night, and I'm just going over things, and he's just like, you okay? Yeah. God just told me he wanted to use my story that he gave me, not the one I came up with, which is so cool. And he's like, well, you better do the one he told you. And I'm like, yes. Yeah, you're correct. You're right. So this morning, I come to you. And being honest and having this honest conversation with you. You know, you ever notice that when somebody says, I'm going to be honest with you, does that mean like the other 99% of the time they were lying to you? I don't quite understand that. So I try to remove that from my vocabulary, but I'm just asking. So anyway, so I'm going to share with you. I'm going to be real with you. And hang on with me, because there is a point. But I have to go back, and this is actually me wearing a mask and not being real. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you're wearing this mask, and it just becomes a part of you, like an accessory that you have on. You don't even know you have it on. I mean, you don't even know you have it on. That was kind of in this case with me. That in this particular area, I had that mask on tight. And I have to take you back, not from the day I was born. I know people would be like, oh my gosh, we're going to be here all day. That's not the case. I promise I'll jump ahead. But it does go back to that, where my mom and dad had two children together, and they did not get married. And when I was born, my mom raised me, took care of me, and a year, almost a year exactly to the day, my brother was born, and his name is Tim. And so when my brother was born, my mom was going to have to put him up for adoption because she couldn't raise both of us. My dad stepped in and said, listen, I'm going to take him. I'll adopt him. And that way you can see him and, you know, and know where he's at. And just thinking that was great. That's awesome. And he did. And he took Tim back to his wife and family. Reason why I couldn't marry mom is because he already had a wife and high school kids actually at home. And he brought the baby back and said, listen, this is an insurance guy that I work with. It's his baby. They can't afford, they were going to put him up for adoption, and so we're going to adopt him. And the wife was just like, okay, all right, sure. And she did. And I got to tell you, I'm most grateful for her raising Tim and my mama too, even when a year later she found out the real reason and whose baby it was. And so she divorced him. But, you know, that's that baby, that innocent child. And she loved him and raised him the rest of his life. And with that being said, going through this and my dad, who I saw like every now and then, maybe weekend trips twice a year or something of that nature, he was verbally abusive, very much so, and he was physically abusive as well. I didn't experience that. I did the verbal, but my brother experienced both. Now, let me just tell you, growing up in this, that's bad enough. I don't want anybody to go through that. However, my dad graduated from Moody Bible Institute and was a pastor. And he would also be an insurance salesman to supplement income on that. And so he was, and growing up, he was married 5 times. And I remember Tim and I, when we would go to his church, wherever he was at, he loved to show off. He was very charismatic. He was, he had the best kids, and everything was hidden. Listen, nobody knew about anything. Nobody knew about his past. He was always so strong in me. Amy, are you attending a church? Is it independent? That was always his first thing. I'm like, what? And I later find out why. But we would go to these churches, And let me just tell you what, my goodness, I was not a very good child. I was an ornery snot, to be honest with you. I know that might be, but I so remember. I so remember sitting there, and everybody's there, and I remember him calling out and him saying, Amy Jo, what is the shortest, or quote me, the shortest verse in the Bible? Right. Jesus wept. You know what my answer was? Nope. Oh, my goodness. You're talking to a man who's already physically abusive, but I was like, I am with a whole lot of people. And I know God is here. So I just wouldn't take it, and I just didn't want to be a part of that. And but of course, then my brother goes, Jesus wept. And so I'm like, we would just make fun of each other. But he was the one who, out of everyone, the one who is getting the worst of it, was the one who guided me, you know, through it. And I don't know what I would have done without him. So anyway, come to say that during this time period, my mama was, Bertha Rocky invited my mom and me to church. And I was young, I don't know, two, somewhere around there, and she brought us to church. Can I tell you, family, I do not know where I'd be if I didn't have that group of people that God placed in my life, because this one over here was showing me what it wasn't. And I couldn't wrap my brain around it. And I just so remember being so hardened and just so unforgiving to this man. And I thought, how can you stand there? How can you stand there and how can you read it? How can you preach it and still not be affected by it? How is that possible? And I'll tell you what, if God wouldn't have brought that church family and those people around that he strategically placed in my life all along my path, I do not know where I'd be. And it was the exact same for my brother. He's in Warsaw living with his family there, and he's at a Grace Brethren Church. I'm in Fort Wayne going to a Grace Brethren Church. It's just the God's hand and moving and through all of it. And so moving ahead, there are lots of things that happen with that, and my relationship with him was not the best. And had to actually call a timeout on our relationship for a while, which really helped me. Really helped me to forgive him, and that was not easy. And you know how I believe that whenever it comes back again, if there's something there, then you need to forgive again, and you just keep going. Because God's just bringing it because he knows you can handle it. You go through it, forgive, and move on. I know that seems to seem so simple, but I'm going to tell y'all, it's for you. It's for you. So I'm married. We're in South Georgia. We have Shelby, and we come back. And again, not sure why, but we're here. We go to a Grace Brethren Church. We don't even know we're at the Grace Brethren Church. And it's just wonderful. And you know, when he places you in a place for such a time, and that these are the people that he wants you to know and to speak into, and them to speak into you. That was a great season, and we were there for about 10 years, and you know, we had decided that it was time to go. And it's not because we didn't love our family there, but we just knew God was saying, you know, we need to move. My husband knew it about a year prior, and so, and he doesn't have much patience. So that last year, but it was good. It was good. And so came along and on the same page, and we left. And when we came to New Hope, I thought, wow, yeah, this is home. I mean, this is home. And we all felt that. And then I remember walking in, and I remember sitting down, and it was like our second, third Sunday. And I think we had decided this is where we're going to attend. And I remember thinking, and I don't know if you've ever tried this before, telling God your plan, what you're going to do. And I just said, hey, listen, just going to tell you, I'm not doing anything for 3 months. I'm not doing nothing. Because in the last church, you know, you can get in it, and, you know, as lead, you know, as on the worship team, we were leading women's study, you know, all this stuff was happening, and I loved it. But there was a time to just want to come in, and you wanted to be anonymous, and you wanted to sit, and you wanted to hear it, and you just wanted to be. Yeah, that lasted about 4 weeks. So I had one more week on me. Because somebody said, hey, you know, we hear you love to sing and you need to blah, blah, blah. Yeah, next thing you know, I'm on the worship team, which was fabulous, awesome. And that was great. And then the next thing you know, the worship leader, you know, I just adored. And he, Terry, and he said, I'm a little tired, eh? A little tired. Well, the man had been doing worship for 15 years. And I looked at him and I said, ooh, doggies. I'm just going to tell you, wow. And I said, yeah, okay. I'm praying on you. You know, thank you. Appreciate you. So then the next thing happens, very quick succession here, is that I find out that they are going to look for a new worship pastor, worship leader, okay? And my husband says, hey, she's just talking to Jason. I said, you were? Cool. What's going on? Well, there's a list. Really? Awesome. I said, that's great. I said, can you share with me who's on the list? And he goes, yeah. It's short. I know, you said that. He goes, what is that? I'm like, well, it's just you, just your name. And I said, oh, no. No, no, no. And I said, because let me just share with you. I don't play an instrument. How am I supposed to lead a worship team? And by the way, you all have the best worship team, period. Amen. Oh, listen, I was so glad that they let me stalk them and come in this morning and sing with them and everything. It was just fabulous, but they are wonderful. And so, you know, I kept asking God, and I kept saying, God, you come on now. That's pretty funny. I know you created humor, and that's awesome, but I just don't know if you got the right chick here. I don't see it. And after people speaking into me and things that were happening, I remember thinking, okay, here we go. And I just got to tell you, I wouldn't trade that season for anything. Because what I found out that particular season was, and what how I say it and convey it, is I care more about the heart than the gift. Because whatever we do, we cannot do well if we do not have that connection with Jesus Christ. And I thought, oh, I need that. They need it. We can do this. Now, that's not saying we had to stop and pause a few times during Sunday worship, which was, but it was okay. It was showing that we aren't perfect. But boy, we love our God. And so what he showed me in that, and that was one to ask. Man, I'm just finding that out as I'm talking to you. That was one that he pulled from me. And that I stood there, and every single Sunday, I had to come out and I had to stand there and do what he's called me to do. Can I tell you that every time I wanted to hide behind the stage and sing from back there? But he said, I want you here. And you have your family. They're all around. And you do this for me. I'm telling y'all, it totally took me out of my comfort zone. And I am a true believer that when you get out of your comfort zone, you are never nearer to him. You are never nearer to him. And every time I came off, no matter what it was, I'm like, God, you are awesome. That is all you, because I don't have that in me. But use me, fill me up, and we'll get it there. So I go through that, and we'll digress a little bit. Sorry about that. So I go through that. We're good. And then I'm excited because I'm like, I want to know where my gifts are, you know, and I never took that gift test or whatever, so you find out where you can serve and what have you. And so I do it, and I'm all excited, and I've got a meeting with Pastor Jason, and I'm like, good, I'm going to find out. So I don't know. I know one thing. I know one gift that is not mine, and it's working with children. Don't get scared. I love kids. I had one. But here's the deal. I remember teaching a class, and they were little. Oh, they were so sweet. I loved hearing their prayers. That was awesome. Oh, my goodness. When they would pray for their cat and the ladybug and everything. It was just, I loved them. And so I love that. But I just knew that was not me, not my calling. And so I was excited to hear where I was going to be. Where was I going to be the most effective? I couldn't wait. Where is it? And if you've ever had a conversation with Jason, like, you know, one-on-one, then you know that he is very intentional with his words. And he is very intentional, and you know it. You kind of see it. And so you know. So I'm sitting there, and we're sitting across from each other, and he's got the paper that I filled out, and he's got his hand, and I'm like going, so what do you think? Now, as he starts out, he goes, Amy, and I'm like, words would be great. That would be so good. And as he keeps doing that, which I know it is, but I just so desperately want to know. And he goes, he just still kind of keeps going. And he looks at me, and I'm like, dude, did I mark all the wrong answers? I'm like, are you going to set up sessions? Are we going to have to meet like every, hey, oh no. And he's like, he looks at me and he goes, Amy, have you ever thought about full-time ministry? I could cry right now. February 22nd, 2011, sitting in his office. And he ripped that mask so quickly off my face that I didn't even know was there. And everything came out. And it was the most freeing moment. And I looked at him, and I just could not speak because I'm bawling like the biggest baby, and it's an ugly cry, ugly cry. And I'm looking at him, and I said, he said, good. And that started me on this journey of being a pastor. And that took that mask off and me being real so God could move me forward. That he could use me and he could move me forward. I have this on the PowerPoint, the next one, and I put in me, I said, I longed to be known, but was scared to be found out. And on here it says, we long to be known, but are scared to be found out. And I don't think we realize, I didn't realize the consequences for hiding, for that concealment. And one of those is love. That we cannot experience real love. And believe me, there are limitations when you can't. When you are in hiding, listen, I was missing out on God's love. I was missing out on his love. Didn't even know that fully. Because when we're hiding like that, we're in the dark and there are limitations to our love. In 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect love. The second is the consequences of hiding. We become prisoners in our own concealment. Listen, we become, oh my goodness, so confined and start believing the lies the enemy is trying to feed us. Because it will steal our joy, take our courage. It can make us fear failure, defeat, rejection, the fear of being alone. We can even fear God. It can leave us cowardly, joyless souls. His fear wants you to wear the mask. He wants you to wear the mask and keep the mask on and hide in the dark. Doesn't want you to take the journey and shoot for the mountaintop. Fear figures that if it can rattle you just long enough, it can take your focus off the one. He can convince you that fear can to live a dull, drab existence. Okay, so this is where you may want to turn the mic down. I want to encourage to give you courage with the words, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do you know it appears 88 times in the Bible, mostly spoken by God himself to his children. And when the words are spoken by our Heavenly Father, we can believe it. We can believe him. I had people speak into me. God did, first and foremost, and he used the people that were around me, and I am so grateful for them. And my journey in becoming a pastor is ongoing, And it did start with Jim, my biological father. But can I tell you something kind of humorous out of it that my brother and I just, well, actually my brother came to me with it and said, just a few months ago, and he says, hey, sis, you know, it's kind of, I'm just thinking, it's kind of ironic. And I said, what? He goes, you know how Dad was a pastor and insurance guy, yeah? He said, you know you're a pastor and I own an insurance agency? And I said, ooh, take that one. You know, I'm like, yeah. And what I immediately said is, our God not big enough that he takes ashes into beauty? You know, that was such a cool moment. That was such an awesome moment. He takes ashes into beauty. So coming out of the healing, like, what do we do when, you know, or hiding, excuse me, coming out of the hiding, so get this mask and being real and coming out of the hiding. We got to know it's okay to not be perfect. It's okay not to be perfect, because guess what? No one is. No one is. That brings them back when we were talking about people who think they have it all together and are perfect. Well, that's not correct. That's not correct. And I can't have this conversation, real conversation with you, thinking you are. So when we are coming out of hiding, be okay with not being perfect. Ecclesiastes 7:20. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not even one. And 1 Timothy 1:15, James came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Second, taking off the mask moves us toward transformation. Can we just talk about that? When we realize that and take it off and let God do what he wants to do, oh, there's going to be a transformation, y'all. And it moves you. If you've ever experienced before, you will be moved. There is that action that happens. There is that action that happens. And in James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other, pray for each other, so that you may be healed. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Family, we're here for each other, right? I mean, I just told you how many times that God put me in with these people at the right place at the right time that could speak into me. You're together, the right place at the right time. Well, we have to be real with each other. We have to be there for each other. We've got to love on each other. And do you know what? Taking off that mask, if you've ever been with anybody or you've done it yourself, you ever notice that you're more willing to do that when they feel safe to do so? When you can show that love and they can see that you've been with Jesus, that you know him, that's okay. That it's okay. And that leads us into our next one. Admission should be greeted by acceptance. Greeted by acceptance. Because listen, if they come to you or you've experienced and you've gone to somebody, You just need to be accepted where you're at, where you are. And if we have somebody coming to us, we need to just listen. We need to listen. Romans 14:1, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters, living as close to heaven on earth as possible. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us for all sin. Praise God. I was writing this down. It's like, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about furthering God's kingdom, being real with one another, to build a relationship, to have a relationship that can bring others to Christ, our fellow brother and sister, back on the narrow path. We are here for those that he puts in our life and to speak life into and to show and share his joy. And listen, family, I cannot clearly see when I have that mask on. If I have a mask on, I'm not able to do these things. I'm not going to be able to do these things because it starts back from the very beginning of love. And love is where it begins. And it starts with him. And his perfect, perfect love. This is a thought when I was going through that. Do you think the rich young ruler struggled with that? When he met him on the road, when he met Jesus on the road. Don't think he could give it up. I just think he got used to wearing the mask. I don't know. Might want to look at that story. And what about Peter? In John 21, when he was reinstated, we've all kind of been there. These are real people with truth stories. And you and I are all here this morning, and every single one of us has a story. Every single one of us. But if we can't be real with ourselves, how are we going to be able to be real with anyone else? And it's something when you think you're getting away with something, but God sees it all. Come on, right? Am I just preaching to myself? Because I do that all the time. I'm like, woo! I'm thinking, gee whiz. I'm not the best driver in the world, I'm just going to tell you right now. Not the best. It's okay. I'll let you clear the parking lot. I'll be the last one to leave. But I'm just saying, there are times when I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord in heaven, thank you. You know, thought I got away with that, but you actually moved me so I did not hit that lady's car. But I will tell you this. We are here to further his kingdom. We are. And we can't do it if we're wearing a mask and refuse to be real. And I got to tell you, when I'm diving into the word, I find so much comfort in seeing stories that I can relate to. And say, oh my goodness, look what God did with him. Look what God did through her. Look what God did. Not what I did. Look what they did, how he used them. If it doesn't give you hope, I mean, those disciples, they crack me up. I mean, I'm seeing Peter all over the place, and I'm like, oh, sign me up. Moses, oh, give me Moses, because I'm looking for Aaron all day long. I'm like, you know, let him speak, you know, because they give me such a hope. And to know that God qualifies you. He's the one who does it. We can't do it on our own merit. If we thought we had our own gift and we did it all by ourselves, he's not going to be able to use it. He's not going to be able to use it like he wants to use it. Let's put it that way. Convinced of that. So, in closing, in Acts 4:13, in Acts 4:13, it says, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and saw that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Good golly, family, isn't that what we want? Is that people to come to us because they know we've been with Jesus. But we've been with Jesus, however, we're here for them as well. When we believe that the same God who wrote those stories rose Jesus from the grave and created you and me in such a time as this, we will be able to throw away the mask and the fear of being real, and we'll be victorious. Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. And our relationship, he's even better. This is even better. Our relationship with our Father will know no bounds. We'll know no bounds. Can you stand with me this morning, family? We're going to close in prayer, and the worship team is kind of play. Thank you all. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We come before you. Oh, Spirit, fill this room. I know you're here. I do not know where each and every person is, but you do. And I pray above anything else, God, that we all stand united, striving together, one another, loving one another, the real love that comes from you. That we can be filled out and poured out to those you surround us with. You're amazing. We are here to further your kingdom, to do your will. And in all of that, God, we want to give you glory. We want to see when come together. We want to see the unsaved saved. Oh, Father. I thank you for today, for this moment. It's such a time as this, and that we've all gathered here today. Let us leave changed, Father God. And to take it with us every single day. Because you have said you will never leave us alone. You are always with us. We can take that and be bold when we speak, Father, of you. And even when we're not speak, that somebody could just see us and know that we have been with you and in your presence. Love you, Father God. lift these people up at level 13. Can't wait to see what you have planned for them. We give you all the glory in your holy, precious, awesome name, and all God's children said, amen.